أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الذين كفروا بآياتنا سوف نصليهم نارا كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب إن الله كان عزيزا حكيما. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you are well aware that we were talking about the resurrection day or the life hereafter. We say that resurrection day constitutes one of the most fundamental principle of Islam. Not only Islam, but also the rest of the divinely revealed religions. All the divinely revealed religions have promised their believers that they will be resurrected and their works and deeds would be rewarded in the life hereafter. And they have to be careful of their actions in this world because they will be mirrored, they will be retaliated in the life hereafter. So, the question arises in this respect, that how our resurrection day will be there, or in another word, what type of resurrection would we experience in the life hereafter? Is it spiritual or physical? So those who are of the view that we would experience physical and corporeal resurrection, they have many doubts in this respect, or they have actually posed some philosophical and rational doubts in this respect, thinking that corporeal resurrection is impossible, because they think that it is impossible that when one dies, the very, very parts of the body, the very parts that constitute his body, the very parts should be once again resurrected or should be once again revived. This doubt was a very common and a very well-known doubt amongst the philosophers. استحالة إعادة معدوم. It means that it is improbable or it is impossible that nothing should be once again resurrected. When something is wholly and totally and utterly destroyed and ruined, we cannot resurrect it, keeping its all characteristics, including those special, I mean S-P-A-T-I-A-L, those special characteristics. Because the time cannot be resurrected, the place cannot be resurrected. So how is it possible that you have to resurrect a person body with those exclusive corporeal characteristics of his body? We talked about and we actually responded this doubt in the previous lecture. And we said that the entity of the human beings are related to their spirit and soul, not in their body, so that it should be once it is resurrection should be improbable or should be impossible. No Almighty Allah would resurrect his soul in an spirit, But those very exclusive features might not be taken into account. So those exclusive and tiny features would not harm the resurrection of soul with another body. Either it should be a like of his body in this world, or it should be a new body. For example, Almighty Allah should give the soul a new body in the life hereafter. But most of the theologians and Muslim philosophers are of the view that the resurrection would be bodily and physical resurrection. The very body we have right now, this body will be once again resurrected. And it is not impossible, because we believe in Almighty Allah's all-knowing characteristic. Because Almighty Allah knows everything, even if those parts are very much, we can say, tiny and small, they cannot be revived. But Almighty Allah has knowledge. Almighty Allah is omnipotent. Almighty Allah is omniscient. Almighty Allah has immediate knowledge of everything. Then to revive those parts, it will not be hard for him to believe in. So the second response we give to the first doubt was this, that death is not equal to total annihilation or total or utter destruction. So that this doubt should come, and we have to be responding that. So this doubt has nothing to do with resurrection day, because this doubt is on the place where total destruction occurs. But we do not believe that death should be equal to total destruction. Death is a new beginning. Death is not something that we have to equal it with total destruction or annihilation. So in the second response, we said that it has nothing to do with this topic. I mean, this doubt has nothing to do with the topic of resurrection day. Today, God willing, we're going to pose the second doubt of those who believe that it is impossible that we have to face physical and corporeal resurrection. The second most important doubt of those who believe that it is impossible that we should experience physical and bodily resurrection, that is this, that is called the doubt of Akil and Ma'kul, the doubt of he who eats and he who is eaten. You know that naturally, when one dies, his physique or his body, his flesh starts to decay. When his bodily parts are decomposed, indeed it starts to putrefy, it starts to decay in the passage of time. So the doubt according to them is that when we die and when our physical body is start to decay, through the passage of time, the parts of our body or a particular body, it would be a form of another body for the next spirit. For example, when a person is died, so his body and the constituent of his physical body would decompose with, we can say, decay. They say that all these parts would be a background for the development of the cells, for the development of another one, another individual. So how is it possible that one's continuity, one's personality should be kept? How is it possible that, for example, Mukhtar's or Ahmad's body should be the same, and his physical parts should not be gone to another spirit, to another soul, because Almighty Allah would create the rest of the individuals too? They say that when you die, these parts will be part of another individual's body. So in the resurrection day, How Almighty Allah would say that this part of the body is Ahmad's body and this part of the body is Mukhtar's body? How is it possible? How is it possible that one's personality should be safe? One's personality, one's continuous cycle of personality should be kept safe and sound. Because when he dies, so actually his physical body decomposes and decays, and it starts to be part of another individual's body, another spirit's body. How is it possible that Almighty Allah should resurrect you with the very body that part of your body has been the body of another soul? So it is a bit difficult to imagine for medical people, but if you pay precise attention, you will get it. When a person dies, so his physical flesh and body starts to decay and decompose. Through the passage of time, it will decay. Till here, everyone agrees. So what is the problem that there is? The problem is that when another individual when comes, so these parts of the dead body will become a part of another individual's body. Either because of, for example, growing the seeds of the plants that we eat, because of, for example, making that soil as part of the rest of the people's body. So the eater and the eaten, he who eats and he who is eaten. How is it possible that Almighty Allah should say that this body was at the service of this soul once upon a time? And after 10 years or after 10 centuries, the same body, the same physical parts were part of another individual's soul. So how Almighty Allah would resurrect this body? According to them, it is impossible. So what is the answer to this doubt, which is well known or which is called Akil and Ma'kul, or the eater and the eaten, or he who eats and he who is eaten? The response that can be given to this doubt is this, that scientifically it has been proved that everyone's body is composed or consists of various cells. The smallest part of everyone's body that can exist independently. And these cells are inclusive of various genes. So these genes can collect and can carry on the whole characteristics of every individual. So in the life hereafter, Almighty Allah would resurrect these genes, considering that these genes are able to preserve and to keep those characteristics of every individual. Even if this was not proved scientifically, we have said that the very tiny differences, the very tiny disagreements we have, it will not harm our main theory. And that was this, that Almighty Allah would resurrect our soul. And for Almighty Allah, it is not hard to give this soul a new form and a new shape. That should be like this body of ours in this world, or another one, a new one. But the most important thing is that our entity, our identity is related to our spirit and soul. So if Almighty Allah could create the very body we have in this world, that is not impossible, because we believe that Almighty Allah is omnipotent. And if Almighty Allah could resurrect us with a new body that should be very, very similar to the body we have in this world, again, that is not impossible. It does not harm the continuous cycle of our personality. It does not harm that our personality should be parted. Our personality should be segregated. No, our personality is related to our spirit, and our spirit is not something that should be changed. For example, if a part of our personality was not there, so we should not be ourselves. No. This identity, this entity, this ourselves, when we call, it relates to our soul and spirit. If Almighty Allah resurrect this spirit and soul with the body we had in this world, or a body that should be like this body of ours, it will not harm the continuous cycle of our personality. Our personality would be protected. There will be no problem in our resurrection. So this is what we can respond to the people who have raised the doubt of eater and eaten, or he who eats and he who is eaten. Their main problem was this, that it will not be made clear that who is the eater and who is the eaten. But we believe that that will not be a problem for Almighty Allah, because sometimes we might compare our Lord with ourselves, knowing not that our knowledge is limited and that of Almighty Allah is unlimited. Ours is definite and that of Almighty Allah is infinite. Our is indeed imprisoned with the four walls of, yes, experiences, history, this and that. But Almighty Allah says not that. Almighty Allah's knowledge is not like ours. Or thirdly, ours is conceptual knowledge, but Almighty Allah's is immediate. So there are huge differences between our condition and that of Almighty Allah. Another doubt that has been raised at this respect is that if Almighty Allah resurrect us with other than this body that we had in this world, it would counter, or it would run counter to Almighty Allah's justice. Almighty Allah give punishment to those bodies that have done nothing wrong in this world. Or Almighty Allah would resurrect, would give reward to the bodies that they have done nothing good in this world. In another word, they are of the view that if Almighty Allah resurrect a person, a given person, with a body other than his body in this world, it would run counter to Almighty Allah's fairness and justice. For Almighty Allah says that you people with the very body in this world would be resurrected. How we can solve this problem? The question is very remarkable. The question is noteworthy. And the response to this question is as following. We said that the core issue and the main point in this respect is our spirit and soul. A body that should be devoid of a spirit or soul that cannot taste the bitter taste of torment, or it cannot have taste of pleasant blessings. So once again, we come to our very focal point, and that is our spirit, our personality, our one identity and entity. That if it is possible that Almighty Allah would resurrect our soul, our spirit, our personality, then the form makes no difference. Another important point that should be added is that the details of the life hereafter is not very much known for all the Muslims. most of their most parts of the life hereafter and resurrection day has been derived from the traditions and from the scriptural reasons. And indeed, since we believe that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his household brought these messages, not only our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his household, but the rest of the prophets too, brought this promise, brought these messages, including the life hereafter. Indeed, the details of this life hereafter is not known, rationally talking. Through our demonstrative reasons, we might not be able to solve all the questions completely and utterly. But since our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household is the most trustworthy, and he is Sadiqun Musaddaq, when he says that these would occur in the life hereafter, since we believe in his truthfulness, we would also believe in those details. Though sometimes we might fail to describe the way it has been there. We might fail to describe the way it would occur in the life hereafter, because it is not something that had to be experienced. Had anyone experienced life hereafter, he would have told us, he would have given us a better and a more or clearer picture from the world or from the life hereafter. But since we have not experienced, our knowledge, our analysis of the details of the life hereafter is heavily relied on traditions, on the verse of the Holy Quran, and the words we have received from our infallible figures. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, may Almighty Allah bless us a happy life in this world and a happier life in the life hereafter. May Almighty Allah resurrect us with His noblest creature, Muhammad, peace be upon him and his household. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. God bless you.